traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back to another Ozark Traditions TV podcast. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt today. Justin couldn't get with us, but we have a legend in the house with us tonight.
Well, a legend in the making, anyways.
A legend in the making. That's what we're going to do it.
Yep.
Mr. Crappie, better just look out because he's coming in hot. We got Mr. Chandler Charlton here. And I know a lot of you ladies are jumping up and down, screaming your heads off, but...
Contain yourselves.
Contain yourselves. We got to get through an hour at least of this talking about crappie fishing. But Chandler, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're kicking. I haven't done no crappie fishing for a while. Me and Matt's been chasing the spoonbill all over the place, but... I heard you've dabbled a little bit here the past month or two.
Yeah. We've been going a lot since all winter long. Really, we've been going almost every weekend all winter long. It's starting to been paying off for us the past couple months. So
yeah, that's what I see.
Now you've won 3 tournaments in a row, right?
Yeah, the last 3 we'd fished.
What was the last one you fished? Was it the American Crappie Trail? Is that the right one?
Yep, it was the American Crappie Trail, yep.
Yeah.
The amateurs division.
Well, yeah.
For now.
So, when are you gonna jump in, splash in on the Crappie Masters? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, I'd like to go try it and see what it's all about. Someday I'm going to, for sure. I'd like to fish one on Truman.
Yeah.
Someday.
That Truman Lake's got some fish in it. I heard.
Yeah.
I fished a tournament against you one time up there last year. I don't know. You probably don't remember me because I was at the bottom of the list on the weights. But
I think Lieutenant Dan won that tournament.
He sure did. Him and old Chris Embry. But if I remember right now, Chandler and Gage was right there. And when I say that, I mean Chandler was right there. I know Gage was just riding around the boat with you, but
right.
You got to watch out for partners like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've all had them.
You got to have a good net, man.
That's right. Ask Brent Gerard. So, Chandler, I got some questions for you. So, obviously, right now, Lake of the Ozarks crappie fishing, you're the dude to beat, you and Jared Coffey.
Yeah.
So, what is it that you guys are looking for to target these bigger fish? I know everybody's live scoping now, but
really main thing that we've found is just find one single fish out by itself is probably the biggest tip that I could throw out there. If you can find one fish out rowing by itself, it's normally a pretty good fish. If you're starting into big schools of fish, you normally ain't going to catch a real big fish out of a school. You might stumble up on a pound or maybe in a pound and a half fish, but get off on one by itself and it's normally a really good fish.
Yeah, just like a pound and a half, you know. No big deal. I mean, a 15 inch crappie. I don't even worry about those.
What was your guys' last weight? Wasn't it 1307?
I think 1302 or 1305 or something like that.
We'll go with 1307.
Well, 13 pounds.
Sounds better.
So yeah. I see what he's saying. Now, these pound and a quarter crappie ain't doing you a lot of good.
Right, folks. You guys weigh 7 fish on these crappie tournaments.
Yeah, those are 7 fish.
So you guys can,
I think our big,
do the math on that. Go ahead.
I think our big fish in that one was 225. I think we had a 225 that day, and we won big fish in that one as well.
And that's out of Lake of the Ozarks. And if anybody thinks that we're talking about like Granada or anything.
Or Truman.
I mean, that's impressive. Impressive weights for Lake of the Ozarks, honestly. Like Truman Lake, they catch them like that there. And obviously you catch them like that on Lake of the Ozarks, but just not.
Very few people can.
Right. Now, everybody listening, when Chandler was talking about finding a fish, first of all, I know 94% of you listening knows what live scope is. But for the rest of you, I'm going to ruin your life if you're going to be a fisherman because you're going to want to go buy this stuff. Just YouTube it, whatever. I'm not even going to try to explain it. It's live action, as the Turtle Man would say. Like, you see it as it's happening.
And it's pretty reasonably priced now, isn't it, Chandler?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's still... pretty high for some fishing equipment to throw on your boat and beat around, but it's come down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a small loan, you can get it on just about any boat you want.
Yeah.
Now, did you just get, I may got some inside information. Did you just get the new latest and greatest live scope?
No, I didn't get the latest and greatest. I did upgrade a little bit, though. I had a 10-inch screen, and I just recently sold it, and I bought the 1242, I think is what it is.
So, let me pick your brain on that, because my dad's got a smaller screen. Is it, obviously, it's better to have the bigger screen, but, I mean, you can do it with the smaller screen. I mean, it's not impossible.
Yeah. Like, the screen that I just upgraded, there's really no difference at all between the two units. They're going to show the exact same picture, just a little bit bigger screen, and it's just a little easier to see, like the size comparison on fish and stuff like that. But
I tell you something that's going on the TikTok world, and I know you've seen it. Guys have been hooking TV screens to these things.
Yeah.
And I mean using like 20-inch TV screen monitors.
Yeah, have you tried that yet?
No, I'd break it, I think.
Well, yeah, but it's only like $100. Who cares? Throw it in the trash and go get another one. Like,
right.
I mean, you're talking a $2,000 monitor, obviously the monitor's not that much, but for your Garmin, you could get a 10-inch Garmin and get the right cables and hook a TV to it.
Yeah.
I could be out there with the 72-inch screen on the front of my boat.
Catching the same amount of fish.
No.
Oh.
Not even close. So I'm going to tell you how far behind the game I am on the Crappie Master stuff. I literally just got stuff to spider rig with this year. That's how far behind I am. Because yeah. I can see, like, me and Matt are old enough to remember, Chandler, when spider rigging was
new.
Like, guys were going out and catching pound and a half, 2-pound crappie spider rigging. And it was like, you can't beat them guys. I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, we don't want them guys spider rigging in our tournaments. You can't beat them. Well, there was no such thing as live scope. You know, that wasn't a thing. And now, like, you can buy all your spider rigging stuff cheap online, by the way, because everybody's just dumping it because they're all, everybody live scopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not dogging it. If the good Lord's good to me, maybe one of these days my wife will let me buy it too so I can be cool. But it works. And it probably works the best for crappie fishermen. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of the big-time bass tournament guys are using it.
Yeah.
But the thing I think it has changed the most is tournament crappie fishing.
Yep. Yeah, the crappie fishing industry has changed a ton over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I honestly think that the bass fishing thing's kind of getting boring. And I'm saying that there's 500 different circuits now. Like used to, like the big times, it was the FLW, the BASS, and that was about it. Well, now you've got Major League Fishing. You've got 300 different other ones. You know, I can't think of them all.
Right, right.
But the crappie thing, like since Crappie Masters is real, and Crappie Masters basically took off with the whole thing and made it a deal. And then, you know, the American Crappie Trail was like a spinoff kind of that. And I know there's a few other ones. I mean, I know here locally, we've got like the Truman Lake crop. Me and Matt fished that a couple years ago. We got a story we got to tell you on that. So me and Matt fish, he talked me into fishing this crappie tournament with him.
Well, and a little background on it. Truman was flooded. I don't know if you remember back.
17 foot high to be exact.
Yeah.
So we put in at Fairfield and we backed in next to the poop house.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I don't know if you've been to Fairfield, but the crappers 200 yards up the hill from the boat ramp.
Well, actually, the Corps of Engineers closed the ramp as we was putting in. They said, hey, if you guys would just lock the gate on your way out, we're closing.
They're like,
are
you guys seriously going crappie fishing? We're like, yeah. You know, there's still water out there. And they're like, okay, well, the lake's 17 and a half foot high, so don't hit any radio towers when you're flying down the lake. But so we got out there, and it was raining, cold, rainy summer day, believe it or not. And Matt, we had the old bird just screaming on there, and we side scanned. You know, back in the day, Chandler, they used to the side scan for crappie.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah.
we side scanned some, and we started catching them, but we were catching like 10-inch crappie. You know, and both me and Matt were like, "Man, this ain't you know we're fishing against like Charlie Rogers. Like these 10-inch crappie ain't gonna work." So we left them, and we went all over the lake all day. And I think we had 5 keepers in the boat at that time. And we ended up just running out of time. And we had them five keepers, and Matt's like, man, I don't know, man. I was like, hey, it's all right. I had fun, you know. So we get back to the boat ramp. And
we were almost late.
Almost, because we had to drive all the way to...
I don't even remember what
ramp. Sparrow's Foot?
Okay. No, because all the ramps were closed. We went to a different one up by like the dam.
Okay, I don't remember. Anyways, we get there on the skin of our teeth, and Matt was... You literally was just going to go up there and pay our money and just...
Leave.
Call it a day, like hang our heads and go get us something to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy said... Matt said, we're not going to weigh our fish. We're just going to pay our... And the guy said, you have fish? And Matt's like, well, yeah. And then I'm talking, everybody in that parking lot just got deathly quiet. And you could tell, like, these guys' hearts sunk. And I'm like, what? Something's going on. And he's like, well, you might want to weigh him. He's like, and then we looked at the weights, and it was like...
I was like, well, what's winning it? I said, he goes, seven fish. He said, second place has six fish.
So we weighed our five fish, and we literally... I think we got like fourth place, which didn't do us no good in that tournament. But if we and Matt would have stayed there, because we left catching fish, like we could have caught two more 10-inch crappie and probably won the whole dang thing.
Yeah.
But we thought
there's no way
Charlie Rogers ain't out here smoking these things. Well, he didn't even weigh any fish. Uh-huh. I don't even know.
Yeah, there was guys that weighed like two fish, you know.
It was so bad. And right then and there, I was like, all right, so here's what we do, man. Anytime you fish a tournament, let's catch seven fish first, and then we'll go from there. Because you never know. Like, in it, that's the beauty of tournament fishing is you don't never know. I mean, you got to go out there, and you got to, if you catch a limit of fish, you got to go weigh them because you don't know.
Now, do you guys kind of have a, I guess, you've got an idea what you got to catch for weight?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to, you're talking about live scope changing the game. You can go fish any lake in the country now and catch them all year long prior to live scope. But we pretty much, the past few tournaments that we've been going into, we've had a goal set. And knock on wood, we've busted a goal every time we set a goal. I think the first time first tournament that we'd won this year, we had a goal set of catching 9 pounds, and we had 10.50 when we weighed in on that tournament. We thought, oh, dang, we done really good, you know, and we just barely won that tournament. Like, oh, golly, that was way too close to comfort.
Yeah.
And the next tournament, I think we had a goal of 11 pounds or something like that, and we had 11.27 on that one, and we didn't win that one by much either.
Yeah, but that last one, you guys brought the broom to that one, I'm pretty sure.
It definitely helps if you can set a goal for yourself on weight, and it definitely helps pace yourself throughout the day for sure, I think.
Anybody listening that is thinking about getting into the crappie, and here I am talking like I know what I'm talking about, but I've weighed in enough of them. I've never really won. I won one at Palmy, and there was like six boats in it. But anyways, if you don't have... And nowadays, I'm thinking if you don't have over 9 pounds of crappie, you're probably not even going to place in one of these bigger crappie tournaments. You know what I mean?
Right.
And me and Matt have always said, if you don't come back with at least five fish over 12 inches.
Well, all seven of your way fish.
Well, yeah, have to be over 12 inches long. That's kind of, that was always me and my standard in a tournament is.
Back in the day, anyways.
Right. Don't never weigh anything less than 12 inches long. And I know there's people thinking we're crazy. You guys, if you've never seen these crappie tournaments, and my dad got humbled up real good the first year. I talked him into, and my dad's an awesome crappie fisherman. And when I say that, I say crappie fisherman. Because there's a difference. There's the Chandler Charltons who can go out there and catch 2 pounders. And then there's guys that can go out there and just catch them. No matter what day it is, go out there and catch fish fry crappie. Well, that's what my dad has done for. And I'm like, Dad, won't you fish one of these crappie tournaments with me? Oh, yeah, yeah. So, first thing he wants to do is run up the Little Niangua. Now, I'm not bashing.
Which, that's where Chandler's catching all his big fish.
Right. The Little Niangua. Sure.
The apple
35
tree.
35-mile marker.
The apple tree.
Yeah.
The apple tree. That's right.
And, up there, guys, it's a lot of fish fry fish. Like, we're catching 10.5, 11-inch crappie. My dad's like, woo, woo, you know? And I'm like, yeah, no. He's like, what? These are big crappie. I said, no, Dad. I said, we got to go. We got to go. We ended up going all the way up to the Army Wreck. And we caught some nice fish. We did. I think me and Dad had like right at 7-something, which was a lot for us. And we got up there. Well, Troy and Eric fished that one. And I think they had like 11-something. And my dad was seeing some of the crappie these guys was weighing in. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, yeah, you're right. He's like, because, I mean, there wasn't one fish under 13 inches coming out of their boat.
Right.
And, guys, they're there. The Lake of the Ozarks has big, obviously has 2-pounders. I mean, Chandler found one.
Well, it's probably the last one.
Probably.
You guys lay a knife to that or what?
No, I've got one at the taxidermist right now.
Yeah.
I caught a 239 in that first tournament that we'd fished, and I always said I was going to get one mounted, and I figured it'd be a good one to get mounted, so I took it to the taxidermist.
239 is a very large crappie.
If I ever catch one over a pound, I'm getting it mounted.
I've got, yeah, okay. okay, so while we got on the live scope thing, there's a myth going around. And everybody's saying now that we have live scope and we can see what the fish do, that they've realized that color does not matter with crappie. That they react to the same. It's all about presentation. Now, Chandler, is there any truth to that at all?
You know, I've never been a big color person. Ever since I was a little kid, I've grown up fishing those little tube jigs all my life, and I've never been a big color person, and it ain't changed from all those years till now since I've had live scope. I don't think color's a big factor at all. I think you got your confidence colors that you like fishing, but I'm not a color person at all. I don't think it matters. The size of the bait, like you're saying, I think size sometimes matters. But
right. You know, on days where they're not as of aggressive, maybe a smaller Bobby Garland bait will work really good. And then days that there are, you know, you can use those. And here's another thing that cracks me up is everybody says you can, if you use too big of a bait, all you're going to do is catch big fish. Wrong. I have literally used a fluke, junior fluke, bass fluke, and caught 7-inch crappie on them, flipping docks.
Yeah.
You know, Jinko makes a really big jig. I use them. I've caught little bitty crappie on them. Guys, if it'll fit in their mouth, they will eat it.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't eat it, they'll at least pull the tail plumb off of it.
Yeah.
But, I kind of feel the same way about the color thing. I know there's a gajillion different colors nowadays, but I think you need to have a lighter color and a darker color. That's all you need to focus on.
I agree with that.
And then, like we said, the size of your bait and the presentation of your bait. Now, Chandler, before the live scoping, did you ever try the spider rigging or the trolling crankbaits or anything like that?
I've never spider rigged. I've never tried it before. I've trolled very little, but I never did spider rig.
So I'm going to give you a warning about spider rigging just in case you ever decide to take it up. I've done it for a solid 3 weeks now, so I'm a pro. You don't take little kids and try to do it, first of all. That's strike one and two, because I had two kids. It's a mess. And number two on that is plan on untangling some stuff. Now, I will say this. I went out just farting around right there at Larry Gale. Mind you guys, this is the first time I've done this. I've not had any experience with this. I literally just got a trolling motor put on my boat that'll go slow enough to do it. Just, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
And I caught, all the fish I kept were over 12 inches long. And now, guys, when I say I'm fishing right, I can see Larry Gale. That place gets hammer-timed crappie fishing, especially this time of year. There'll be every stick, every log, every rock within 300 yards of that boat ramp is going to have 35 crappie jigs beat off of it by 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. It's just the truth. I mean, that's just how it is. It's right there. And I'm sure it's the same way with all the public boat ramps around Lake of the Ozarks. Anything major, PB2, Larry Gale, Shawnee Bend, all of them. But I caught some really nice fish doing it. I say really nice fish. You know, bigger fish. But I was way off out in the middle of nowhere. I was not right up by the bank. I was trying to stay out in like the river channel. Like I've never done this before. So I'm learning this just like everybody else. And I've learned another thing you don't want to do is catch a white bass doing it. because they will string some stuff out. They'll tangle everything up. I threw some crankbaits out the other day, Matt, and all I did was lose one. So I don't know how that's going to go for me. I'm going to have to keep working on that.
Right.
But the spider again thing is pretty neat. And I caught a lot of fish. And it's just something different. I mean, I can go throw at docks, shoot docks, because that was always what I did. You know, we always shot docks. I can remember when that first come on, and it was the phenom. Like, you had to shoot docks. If you're not shooting docks, you can't win these crappie tournaments. I mean, that's how old we are, Chandler. Like, it went from, you know, now you got to have live scope. We went from, if you're not shooting docks, you're not winning them. And then it went to, if you're not spider rigging, you're not winning them. And then it went to, if you don't have spot lock, I don't know how you even crappie fish.
Right.
And then it was trolling crankbaits, and now it's live scope. Now, I will have to say, I think that the crappie tournament fishing has gotten a lot more competitive. You know, used to, you'd hear 9-10 pounds was winning these crappie tournaments all the time. And now I'm thinking some of those Granada Lake
you're gonna have to have 14 pounds just to beat Chandler on Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, but what?
Because, I mean, that next goal weight's got to be higher, right?
Yeah, he's going to shoot for 15. He's going for, like, bass tournament weights.
Yeah.
Shoot, I've seen bass tournaments where 12 pounds would have won it.
Right, yeah.
I fished them before. me and Kyle Lampkins won a Thursday or a Friday night tournament out of Lynn Creek a couple years ago with, like, 9.5 pounds. We are tickled pink. We fished a Ned rig all night. Only thing we can catch a bass on.
You couldn't even beat Chandler with that.
You know, the crappie game is really coming in strong, which I think it's great.
So I got to ask you.
Yeah, I do too.
I got to ask you, Chandler. So now that you've gone semi-pro here, are the sponsors starting to roll in?
No, not yet. I did have one guy message me I'm supposed to meet up with. I don't know where it's going to lead to, so.
Well, that's cool.
We'll see on that.
Hey, just so you know, I'm looking at them right now. We got a whole pile of stickers here that says Ozark Traditions TV. I'd give you one of them for, you know, just a handshake or a picture. That way when you go big, we can be like, hey, we talked to that guy one time on a podcast.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and officially announce my retirement from tournament crappie fishing, because the last time I fished one on Lake of the Ozarks, I beat Chandler Charlton.
Yeah, so you got to quit.
So I got to quit while I'm ahead.
Right. Be like, wow, I never, you know, he never beat me.
That's right.
Now, the last time they fished it, I'm pretty sure they were in that old boat, the old jet boat. But now, hey, Chandler, what boat are you fishing out of nowadays?
I just bought a new to me boat, not new. I just bought a Charger.
Yeah. I know which one you bought.
Yeah. I ain't got to fish out of the whole lot yet. I took it a couple times. So I think I'm really going to like it. I just sold that aluminum boat that I had.
I sold it
to my brother. So.
I was going to tell everybody. I got mad respect for Chandler because I'm going to tell you guys, the last time I fished a tournament against him and Gage, they were in the old boat. And didn't the power head blow up on that thing finally? Or did you?
He just shut her down to let the motor cool for a little bit.
That's what it was. He tried
chasing me way up the Little.
Yeah, way up the Little, like the 55-mile marker on the Little.
Something like that. I think it was the 35, but anyways, yeah. I was like, well, they're behind us, and then all of a sudden we lost them. And me and Brent are fishing some docks. I said, well, there they go. I said, I guess they got lost.
But, guys, he was fishing out of a beautiful... Was that a sea? What was that thing?
It was a... Neck,
maybe?
No, it was a well-built.
Well-built. Light. Yep. Super light boat. Beautiful. It had, like, no carpet. Or did it have some carpet?
It was pretty spotty. It had a little bit.
Yeah,
but
he said
spotty.
It had spots of carpet. You know, a little carpet here, a little carpet there. But you guys was killing it in that thing. And that's something else, guys. Okay, I got another story to tell when we're talking about tournament fishing. I got to give a shout out to my buddy Austin Welsh, and I'm going to tell you right now, me and Matt made this mistake about 3 years ago putting on a bass tournament, and I know I'm probably going to piss some people off, but I will never put on another bass tournament. It's just not our cup of tea. We'll put it that way. Anyways, Austin Welsh comes in. First of all, we made the mistake of putting it on Facebook. We were thinking 10 boats tops. By 5 minutes before takeoff, I think we were creeping into like 25 boats. And I think we ended up with 30.
30 some odd.
In this peewee bass tournament that we had. It was a shotgun takeoff. Now, you heard that right. It was a shotgun takeoff. These guys were not impressed. But Austin Welsh shows up. He's in a 60s model Ozark.
Yep.
Fiberglass boat. They'll round it in. It had a stick steer, 60 horse Johnson on it. He had an igloo cooler with an aerator in it for a live well. And I'm not making this up, guys. We come in to weigh in. There's $150,000 bass boats in this tournament. These guys have got two fish, three fish. They're weighing them in. Austin comes dragging his cooler up there. And he goes, boys, he said, I don't know. He said, my aerator quit. He had five fish in there that would have went for almost 20 pounds. Three of them were deader than a hammer.
Yeah.
And these guys are looking at him, and he's like, well, I don't know if I could have just kept. He'd have won this bass tournament, guys, out of this boat if he just could have kept his fish alive. It gets better. Well, all these guys are walking down, and they're throwing their fish back, you know. Austin, he drags an old 2x12 out of the back of his truck, and he's over on the curb, just laid the knife to these bass. And these guys are, like, about to lose their minds. Now, mind you guys, these fish were already dead.
Well,
most of three of them were already dead. The other two ended up the same way. But these guys are, like, losing their mind about this deal. And they come up to me and Matt, and they're like, I can't believe you let somebody. And I'm like, man, look, those are dead. So do you want him to just go down there and throw him on the bank? Like, at least he's going to eat him, you know. Them other two, I
ain't going to tell him no.
He's got a knife in his hand, you know what I mean? Like, just let the poor guy eat him, you know. He doesn't. But just the look on their face was priceless to me because I didn't have a prayer in that. I don't think I even weighed anything. We put it on, didn't catch nothing. But the look on their face when he drug that cooler up there and flipped the lid open, if that fish, I just wish they'd have been alive.
Yeah, so he could have won it.
Because it would have made my day. Because he'd have won, like, oh, it was crazy. Like, $800.
Pretty good chunk of change, yeah.
You know, it'd have made his day. And I'd have been more than happy to give him that envelope. It would have made my day. But it ain't what you're fishing out of, boys. It's do you know what you're doing? That is all that matters.
And I guess Jared Coffey knows what he's doing because he's carrying old Chandler right along with
him. That's the rumor. Well, the rumor was that Gage was carrying you for all them years, and then you got tired of Gage carrying you, so you had to switch over to Coffee there.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So, I got to know, how good a crappie fisherman's Gage Mashburn? Because he lets on like he's, you know, Wally Marshall's stepson or something. I don't know.
Oh, he can catch him.
He's not here. You can tell the truth.
Or is he?
I don't know where he's at. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him.
No, he's a good kid. You guys are a lot of fun. I tell you, we always used to put on little crappie tournaments every year, and you guys always fished them. It was always fun. That's why I like the crappie tournament. I like the crappie scene. Now, I'm not going to lie and say it was probably my favorite tournament, because I think the favorite tournament we've ever done was the catfish tournament. We put on a catfish tournament a couple years ago, and now, guys, that's a whole different breed of people right there.
Yeah, they're a pretty good bunch of old boys.
Like, we're at the weigh-in, and one guy decides he's going to crack him open a Cold Bud Light or Bush Light, whatever it was. Well, then everybody's seen it. So then everybody just wanders over to their truck, and all of a sudden everybody's got a beer. It was like one guy had to hurry up, and it was just a whole different breed of guys. Like, it was a rough-cut bunch.
Yeah.
The catfish tournament thing was a little tough. Because it was the first year that the MDC put on the slot. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, it may be good for the catfish, but it is not good for a catfish tournament.
Because it seems like that's all you'll catch is slot fish.
Well, and unless you catch a giant one, all your fish are going to be about 5 pounds. So it's like a bass tournament.
Yep.
Now, nobody in that tournament. I think old boy from Willows.
Yeah.
His name was Mike something.
Mike Fife. And
that's it.
Brian Vinson won that.
Won that tournament with some channel cats. I'll never forget it. We all caught fish. It was just everybody caught them right in the middle of the slot. But the catfishing crew was a...
Yeah, more, I went and got me a ringer partner and everything. Catfish expert.
Yeah.
Trent, the cat daddy Schlip. We didn't do nothing.
Yeah, I could have told you that. You caught just as many as I did. Because, whatever. So, Chandler, what's your next tournament that you're going to look at maybe fishing?
Oh, well, I'm not real sure. We're going to go to Indiana to fish one this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say the American Crappie Trail had one there, right?
Yep. We were going to go over there and fish it, but I don't think we're going to go fish it now. It kind of rolled up on us too quick. I'm not sure.
Is there any more at Lake of the Ozarks? I mean, like bigger crappie tournaments?
Yeah, I think so. I can't tell you off the top of my head on when they are, though. I'd have to look at that schedule thing, but there's a couple more pretty big ones on Lake of the Ozarks, I think.
Yeah. Now, does the Crappie Masters come to Lake of the Ozarks?
Yeah. Every
year.
Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're actually putting one on Palmy this year for the first time.
Well, that's Matt's favorite lake.
That is my favorite lake to go swimming in.
I'm going to tell you right now, Chandler, I've won one crappie tournament in my life, and it was Palm de Terre Lake.
Yeah.
And I beat Matt and Brent by 1 ounce, which didn't matter because we took all the winnings to the crappie hole and all of us ate and spent every bit of it. But
now, the last tournament I won, I believe, was
the Palmy tournament.
Bad as I hate to say it.
It was so funny because we fished against some hammers in that one now.
Yeah.
Bobby Love was there. Him and Kumo fished it.
Todd Simpson.
Todd Simpson. I don't know if you know him or not, but that kid can catch him. All of them went up the other arm of the lake except for two of us. And it was me and my dad and Matt and Brent. And they got first and we got second.
Yeah.
But it was...
It's kind of like that last tournament I fished against Chandler. I think you guys is following me is what it is.
You got a GPS tracker on the old blue log.
That's what it is.
So, Chandler, have you ever caught a spoonbill?
Yeah, I've caught a few.
Caught a few. Have you ever tried live scoping them?
I've caught a couple, I guess you could say, on accident with a live scope.
Now, ponds don't count.
Hey, you have no secrets here, buddy. We know your inside man's done spilt the beans. He has wrote. I've got a book right here of everything you're going to try to hide. We'll keep a lot of the stuff that'll keep you off the out of the game warden's hands.
Now,
off here.
I've got a question for you. What is your favorite crappie lake so far that you've fished?
Ooh, I really like Lake the Ozarks over the past 6 months, but I like fishing Truman a lot too. It's a toss up between the two.
There's a lot of guys like that come from long ways to fish Truman Lake. It's got a lot of big crappie on it.
Yeah.
It's a little hard on equipment, like lower units, props, fiberglass boats, but it's definitely got what I think is the state's probably best crappie fishing. I mean, Lake of the Ozarks is coming in pretty, which is impressive to me that Lake of the Ozarks has been able to keep up with how much it gets fished. I mean, this lake gets its guts fished out of it for crappie.
Yeah, but some of the big crappie, they come through the dam from Truman going to Lake of the Ozarks, so there you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish that come through that dam. So
yeah, people think I'm joking. I'm being serious.
No, I caught a tagged spoonbill back in the beginning of the season. It was on our webcast still. And I got the results back last week, I think it was, and my fish was tagged on Tally Bin on Truman Lake, and I caught it Lake of the Ozarks in an area right inside.
Well, I'll tell you. So
Browns Bend on Lake of the Ozarks.
Here's the cool thing,
it.
Though. The year before, I caught a tagged fish that was also tagged at Tally Bin, and I caught it in front of Clearwater Condos right there at Larry Gale.
Now, that's a long... That means that fish had to come through Truman Dam.
And then travel.
And traveled how many? 100 miles.
Yeah, almost.
You know, mine wasn't too bad. 50 miles. Yours was probably more than 100 miles. I mean, it's almost 100 miles to the mouth of the Osage. What is it? I don't even... 70, 80?
What's that?
From the mouth, from Lynn Creek to the dam.
50-something.
So I'd say it's 60 miles to Clearwater. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy how big Lake of the Ozarks is.
Yeah, have you ever drove all the way up the Osage, Chandler?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good drive, isn't
from Larry Gale is what we're saying. You know, we talk about our home base. It's right here in the Big Niangua because we all live right here.
Well, some of us the little, right around the apple tree there.
Yeah. The ramp up there sucks, man.
It does.
Especially right now.
Yeah, there ain't no water in it.
But then you know how them guys are. They're stuck in their ways up there
in the little.
They like catfishing up there, too.
Yeah, and I've heard there's some good catfishing up in the little. Is that true, Chandler?
Me and my grandpa caught one. I was really small, but I think it was 30-something or maybe been in the 40s.
That's big.
It's been probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Right out there in front of the apple tree.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hot spot.
If anybody is going to go up there looking for this apple tree, it's like the fountain of youth. There's just fish jump. You just take and dipping at them right underneath it.
Pretty well.
You got to be looking, though. It never has any apples on it. I don't get it. No, this neck of the woods over here is a lot of fun fishing there. You could, me and Matt was snagging a couple weeks ago and we caught a 50-pound blue cat. The same day we caught an 85-pound spoonbill.
Yeah, right around the 35. Pretty good fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right at the 35.
But
that's the going joke around here. Anybody asked, so Chandler, I know people have asked you, man, like where you're catching them, how you're catching them. Me and Matt, we all have the same answer, just the 35.
Yeah, so if you want to use the apple tree, you can use that. That's what I'd do.
It works. Because, see, now you're famous, so you're going to have to go and hike, you know, incognito on this bass boat. You can't be putting fancy wraps and stickers because, like, Bobby Love made that problem.
You could put Ozark Tradition sticker on or something
that. Well, yeah, but don't get it wrapped in orange First Light.
Like Bobby did, yeah.
Or don't fish like Chris Embry in a banana boat. Like, everybody knows who you are and they know where you're going. They're going to follow you around.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep it as low profile as I can.
Canoe. Nobody will ever be looking for a guy in a canoe with live scope on the front of it. Well.
And they got him.
Oh, yeah. We took a guy snagging last week, which we're going to try to get him. He wants to come on the podcast. He doesn't own it. He runs. What is it? EK? I don't want to say it.
Eco Fishing. Have you seen that, Chandler?
I've heard of it, yeah.
South of town there.
He's got it's like a big kayak.
And they're a Garmin dealer and everything.
Right, but the kayak thing has come on strong, which we're gonna get him on here and talk with him about it. I mean, he's already agreed to come on, but it's like they've got like tournament series with the kayaks and like
maybe that'll be the next thing. Crappie fishing kayak series.
Boy, it'd be a rough one to go up the Osage on that.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't it? Especially at the mouth of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Whew. I don't know. How far have you had to run to catch a crappie, Chandler? You can tell me that.
How far have I had to run to catch one?
Yeah, like to how far have you ran in a crappie tournament?
Oh, we ran about 60 miles one day, one way.
Well, I've been there. I'd like to say that I haven't.
I'm going to ask. I'm assuming that was when gas was just a hair cheaper.
Not a whole lot cheaper, but a little bit cheaper. Yeah. We had to bring extra gas with us to make the run. But I think it was right around 60 miles, somewhere in there.
Was it cold?
Yes, it was really cold.
Yeah.
So. Motorcycle helmet.
Guys, about the time I hit Lynn Creek, I'm shutting her down for at least 20, 30 minutes. It just gets, I'm a weenie, I don't know. I can go duck hunting in 13 below, but.
Yeah, but that duck boat doesn't travel at the same speed.
And no, that duck boat maxes out at, well, you say that. I had the 75 on her last year. She'd run about 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done. We didn't run it that hard, but.
That may have been a bit much.
I don't know if you've been in any of the duck holes I've been in, but 4 mile an hour is about as fast as you want to go anyways. Because stumps. We'll just say the lake I duck on a lot has stumps. I'm sure Chandler and Gage have probably.
I don't know. Does Gage drag you duck hunting ever?
Yeah, he tries to every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're smarter than that, aren't you?
It'd take a toll on you if you hunt very much.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hang with that.
Oh, I can. I tried to wear old gauge. Actually, I have. I've got him. He's told me no before.
So now, Chandler, so your fishing plans, you're gonna postpone the Indiana tournament. Where's your next big tournament going to be at then?
I think we're talking about fishing one on Truman here in a couple of weeks.
Truman. So you can go up there and start pre-fishing for it a little bit, or?
Yeah. Yeah, so, we need.
Go ahead.
We need to be out there fishing as soon as possible, really, but we really had a whole lot of time to the past week or so to fish, so.
I know the million-dollar question in the crappie world, especially right now, this time of year, is, are the crappie coming up on the bank? And you've been out there fishing. And I'm talking about guys just wanting to go catch crappie, not tournament fishing, just go out and crappie fish.
What? They have moved a lot shallower, but I haven't seen any on the banks that you would say yet.
No, I don't either. And me and Matt, like I said, we've been doing some spoonbill trips, and the water was just creeping up into the 50s. You know, and that's unheard of for April. I mean, usually we're getting to 60.
Well, it should be middle 50s right now.
Right.
Is what it should, you know, usually is.
So anybody listening, in my opinion, like, people always ask about the crappie spawn. It's the spawn. 61 degrees is what they claim.
60 is when they start moving.
Right. I don't think they actually spawn until it gets a little warmer.
65.
Yeah. But the crappie spawn, like, if you're, in my opinion, if you're looking for big fish, that's not the best time to fish. I mean, it seems like the big fish go up there real quick and they're back out. You know, they don't stay up on them. But you can go run the banks this time of year and catch a boatload of crappie. And if you're just going out for fish fry, that's what you need to do.
I definitely think. What do you think, Chandler? Pre-spawn fish when you catch your bigger fish?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, when they're full eggs, you know, before they, because when they spawn out, they'll get quite a bit smaller. Really, I mean, they'll stay the same length. But boy, if you can catch one right now, big female. If you can catch a 15, 16 inch crappie right now, that's a female. It'd probably be close. It's going to be that 2 pound. So what's a 2 pound crappie, Chandler? It's about what, 16 inches?
Right at about 16, yeah, if they're good and fat.
Yeah. Because I think they said, what was it? I read a deal, they said so many inches is a pound.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows? You don't know.
So now, Chandler, now that you find yourself doing more of the crappie tournaments and stuff, are you doing more catch and release of your crappie, or are you still doing big fish fries at the house?
Yeah, about everything catch and release really anymore. I'll keep a handful of 10-inch fish every once in a while, and I give a lot of fish away. But if I'm out pre-fishing or at all, anything over a pound gets released.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of years ago when I started dabbling in the crappie tournaments a little bit. That's what I started doing. If it was over 10.5 inches, you know, 11, 12-inch fish, I'd throw them back.
Well, I mean, if you guys are wanting to eat a crappie, that 9-inch to 10.5, 9-inch to even 11-inch is anywhere in between. That's what you're – they get any bigger than that, then you got to cut them in half or something. I mean, I say that, and people eat them all the time. But in my opinion, the best frying fish is the 9 to 10-inch.
Oh, yeah, and some of them 8.5, they fry pretty good,
right,
too.
Just be quick about it.
River fish, of course.
River fish, that's right, 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 right. So anybody wondering – in Missouri, in the river, there's no size limit, and you can keep 30 of them. That's what we were talking about. We would never keep a crappie undersized like the Ozarks. That'd be terrible.
That's right.
Right, Chandler? You've never done that.
Nope.
Okay. He's on the straight and narrow. I like it.
Yeah. His grandma's going to listen to this.
Maybe.
So... you're gonna if you end up going big time, just don't forget about us little guys that showed you the way. You know, I know you've never fished with me a day in your life, but if you've took any advice from that other guy you fish with, Gage, he's learned it all from us. Especially Matt. I mean, he spends every day with him, and he's good at finding stuff out.
He's our intel man. I don't even have to pre-fish anymore.
What's Chandler on? He's like a professional Facebook scouter.
Yep.
If I post a picture of a duck...
We're just giving you a hard time. He's not really, but.
Nah, we're not. We can give Gage a hard time, though. We don't care. If he's got something to say about it, he can come on the podcast and tell us, because we can't get him to do nothing. We tried to get him on here. And people are scared to death, and I get it. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, this is big time right here.
Yeah, you got to talk to us.
But you just got to dive in.
We appreciate you coming on, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you guys for having me.
I'm still waiting for you to tell us all your spots. But I mean, that's why we're dragging
You can just text me, though.
No, I hope everything works out good for you. I hope you guys keep on keeping. I know you've definitely opened eyes on some people. Like, not just.
There may have been a handful of boys were getting kind of comfortable being at the top, and now, well, third place don't have the.
Well, I can tell you right now, I've talked to, you could call him the best at one time, Eric Weathip, and he told me and Matt at the gas station the other day, he said, well, you're not going to beat Chandler right now, so you're just going to fish for second. I mean, that's what he told us, so.
Yeah, so you're doing good. We're proud of you.
Yep. Thank you.
Keep on a grinding, man.
Keep representing this in the town good, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, keep repping the apple tree, man.
The old Alrighty. Apple tree fishermen are hard to beat. But all right, Chandler. Well, thanks for coming on, man, and talking with us a little bit about crappie fishing.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Yeah,
well, good luck, man.
Yep, you too.
So we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
So Gage Mashburn, if you're listening to this and you got a problem with anything I said, come on, we need to hear from you too. You're the catfishing professional. What's he been doing? Nothing. Getting ready to start a new job.
He found a whole pile.
Yeah.
Of mushrooms.
Ah! There it is. That's what I was looking for. So, word on the streets, morels are popping, guys.
That's what I hear too.
Justin Swadley found them today.
But was that in eastern Kansas? I don't know, because I looked after work yesterday.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
I thought about going and looking tomorrow, but I'm probably going to end up trying to go fishing for something. Easter's coming up, and my family's like, hey, let's have a fish fry. You got fish, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's the best.
So now I'm like, got to go power fish.
Well, hey, let's go catfishing.
I'm good. Whatever we got to do. So, before we get off here, guys, I want to talk about this past weekend was youth turkey season. We had a ton of people sending us pictures and stuff. We had a couple people on the team kill. Asa killed his first bird.
Yep, my boy killed his first turkey.
Did James and them, they killed a bird?
Yep.
We had quite a few people kill some birds. Me and Drakey, we didn't get her done. We hunted hard, but just couldn't quite get them fooled. It was tough. The birds gobbled really good.
Well, the weather was tough. It was really cold Saturday.
Right.
But the birds were fired up. That's when Ace killed his bird.
And everybody I talked to said that the birds gobbled really good.
And then Sunday, they gobbled very little, but Sunday here, anyways, was very, very windy.
Yeah.
And you know how turkeys love the wind.
Right. About like crappie fishing.
Right.
The wind. No, it was a lot of fun. It was pretty neat. Drakey got to hear some gobbles. We had some birds close. We just didn't get it done, so we'll try it again during the regular turkey season. But it's coming in hot, guys. It's here Monday already. I mean, I can't believe.
Well, they're going to have to wait on me till Saturday.
What? Right, but I'm just saying it's coming. It's going
to
be here.
Which I just do that to give them a sporting chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more fair for the turkeys.
Right.
Plus, my boss likes it better, so there's that.
Yeah, that's where I was going to head towards. The turkeys aren't scared of us.
They're not really.
But maybe they should be. Me and Matt's learned over the years, patience is a virtue in the turkey hunting. I mean, honestly, we were talking about that before the podcast.
Well, and I kind of feel like, you know, I got to shake Eddie Salter's hand. I'm just that much better of a turkey hunter now. Meet Eddie. You know what I mean?
I had to call on his call in front of him.
No pressure.
No pressure. Nobody else volunteered to do that, I noticed.
I was going to, but then I was like, man, I just don't want to upstage TJ.
You guys standing over there behind that fake tree over there looking at them Bass Pro boats. That's what they were all
Me doing. And Matt were like, man, this hex camo, they can't even see us over here.
They can't even see us in this stuff. It was fun. His wife, I'm telling you, she was the one that pressured me. She's like, you're not buying one until you run it. I was like, well, All right.
And who, I mean, you couldn't told her no. She was sweet as pie.
Oh, yeah. Both of them. Great people. We've got to talk to some turkey killing fools. I mean, we had Alex Rutledge on here last week. I mean, these guys have, we got to talk to, you think we'd be better turkey hunters? I mean, we got to hang out with Waddy for a minute.
Think about all the crappie we're going to catch now because we just talked to Chandler Charlton.
That's right.
See, all their skills, I don't care, man. It rubs off on you.
Didn't
just a
you,
little
did
bit.
You like his comment, though? Like, you can fish in big schools, but you won't really catch any. You'll catch, like, the 1.5, 1 pounders, you know, but
yeah,
you won't
I picked
catch
up
it.
On
and
that.
I'm like, dude, if I could go out and catch 1.5 pounders, I'd be a happy, happy, happy man.
Well,
that's a
and
big
you know what?
Crappie,
and
guys.
You'd be happy, happy, happy in eighth place. I'm just saying.
Right. And that's what the world's come to in the crappie tours. Like, it isn't, there's no 9 pounds is going to win it no more.
Something I think is really neat is how they just, they target, I mean, they literally are targeting a fish.
So, anybody wondering how they do that on the live scope, the Garmin graph, they have grids on there and you can set them to.
Well, you know, he didn't really talk about the grid deal.
Right.
But notice how he talked about how the fish, more or less, how they act.
Well, by their self. I keened in on the whole, if they're out there by their self.
So.
There's your tip of the day, guys.
He gave away a pretty good tip there. So.
Well, I mean, it's like me and you said, walking in here, there's no secret spots anymore, guys.
No.
Everybody's got a GPS. Everybody's got a graph on their boat nowadays. I mean, 60% of the guys crappie fishing have live scope.
Right.
They're going to figure it out eventually anyways. You just got to stay on top of it. And compete. I mean,
yeah,
everybody's going to be good now. I say good. Everybody's going to compete now. There's not going to be any guys that don't know what they're doing out there.
Right. But you still got to put the work in like him and Jared are doing. And
right.
I'm glad to see it's paying off for him because.
Yeah. I mean, he's a local. He's from right here in our neck of the woods. And he's been doing really good. And he's a young guy. I mean, he's not very old. And I think that kind of stirs the pot a little bit in the crappie world. You got these. These guys that have
well,
been
like
doing
I said,
it.
you've got a handful of guys here locally, which and they're good guys. I'm not slighting them any, but
well,
you know, they've kind of gotten comfortable at the top and,
running
and
the
they,
show.
They've got the same guys that they're used to competing against, and now all of a sudden,
these new kids are coming in. And it'd have been one thing if they'd have just won one. They've won 3 in a row.
Yeah, they're kind of dadgummit. These kids is good,
right? You know, you beat them once, shame on you. You beat me twice. Or however that goes. I said that wrong, but you know what I mean. You beat a guy.
Shame on somebody.
You beat somebody 3 times in a row, you're good.
Right. The luck is out. The luck train has left the station.
The luck's no longer a part of it. I mean, if you can win a 3 times in a row in any tournament.
Yeah, because now if they're just getting lucky and winning these boys all be buying scratcher tickets instead of entering crappie tournaments.
Right, because they're not winning like $50.
Oh, yeah. They're winning tens of thousands.
I wasn't going to go that far.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
They're winning 1,000.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. I've never won one.
I've never won a big one.
All I've ever did was like hand them my $40, and I'll never see that again, but it was fun.
Right.
They're a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and the competition side of things is always fun.
Just keep
always
it
fun.
Keep it friendly, though. You know, don't lose your mind about it. And I'm not a tournament fisherman, but when I have, if it's... Just go out and fish like it's any other day. If you go out there with a, like, man, I got to try to force things, I feel like you're going to struggle more.
I think what he said, you know, as far as they set a goal for the day
right.
of a weight,
mm-hmm.
and then they work towards that, pretty sharp.
Yeah. It's been paying off.
Obviously, yeah.
I mean, the guys have been winning, so. But, all right, well, I don't know who we'll have next week. You ever know who we might drag in here, but I'm sure we'll be talking about turkey hunting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if any of us get to go.
I mean, we can talk about turkey hunting, but I'm probably not going to get to go till Saturday.
Right. Well, maybe somebody will find some mushrooms.
That'd be cool. Maybe, you know what? Maybe Matt Smith will kill one like Monday morning, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
He's not here right now.
I almost forget. See, he took the whole week off, so we're going to have all kinds of turkey killing stories to hear about because he's got till Wednesday, no pressure, Hampton.
He's already got them found.
Yeah. He sent me pictures.
We have personal pictures sent in a group text.
You ought to see the size of the pen he's got them in, too.
It's impressive. It's impressive, the size of the cage he's got them in.
Yeah. So we should have, we'll get to recap Hampton's successful turkey hunt.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, Craig and...
James Edwards. I mean, I'm sure...
Well, they didn't have no trouble killing them last week.
I'd say my money's on James, 7:15, birds down. Yeah. No pressure, buddy.
Yeah. Just hope he don't have to run after them and chase them down in a river and creek and stuff again like he did last weekend. That looked like a mess.
Hey, stuff happens.
Yeah. They got the bird, though. That's all that matters.
There you go.
You get to fry it up. So, all right, guys. Well, once again, Chandler, buddy, thanks for coming on. Hope somebody learned a little something about the crappie fishing world. It's coming in strong, but we'll see if we can conjure somebody up. Talk to us next week. You never know. We may have a secret guest. But other than that, I'm sure we'll be talking turkeys. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk at you next week.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.